Welcome to Finals Footy on Fox League. Listen in to the first segment of NRL 360 or watch the full show live on Fox League, 6:30pm Monday to Wednesday.
This is NRL 360 brought to you by Chemist Warehouse. Let's take a look at what's leading tonight's agenda. We've got ourselves a grand final, folks. The Penrith Panthers and Melbourne Storm win their way through to the 2020 Premiership Decider. It's Dally M Awards night and we get the ceremony started early on NRL 360. The Rookie of the Year winner will join us live in studio. State of Origin just got a whole lot more interesting after Wayne Bennett went big for his assistant coach. Mel Meninga is back with the Maroons. And as the Telstra Premiership draws to a close, James Super and Phil Rothfield make their bold early predictions for season 2021. Good evening and welcome to NRL 360 Rugby League from every angle. I'm Ben Eichen, together with Paul Kent from the Daily Telegraph. PK, it's grand final week, Dally M Awards night. You must be feeling good.
Oh, I am feeling good, Ben. Yes, it's...
Well, we got there, right? It's long and lumpy season.
And you know what? There was a lot of uncertainty when the competition resumed. I think the NRL came under enormous criticism for the May 28 deadline they set. And yet they got back and it's gone off without a hitch. And I think well done to the NRL.
Phil Rothfield, James Super, good evening. It's Dally M Awards night. Tell me, who gets in the race with Nathan Cleary this evening?
Clint Gutherson had a hell of a back end of the season. You know, Parramatta shot themselves out of a cannon when the competition resumed, and then particularly leading into the finals, he was immense for the Eels. So I reckon he might give him a run.
Yeah, Clint Gutherson will give him a run. I think Jack White will give him a run. But Cleary, in my opinion, has been the standout player, and I really hope he wins it. Yeah. He's just been outstanding.
So when you look back on that whole TikTok points deduction saga, Buzz, what are your thoughts now?
It's similar to what Peter Volandi said in the Telegraph today, that he had to show a lot of, you know, strength to overcome what happened early in the year. And he's handled it brilliantly, but he kept his points like he probably should have. And the way he's led that side around the park, it's not just any football side, it's a brilliant football side, is it a credit to Nathan. He's grown up so much since March, April this year.
I would agree. It's been a superb season for Nathan Cleary and the Penrith Panthers. Now, just a reminder, the 2020 Dally M Awards ceremony is on straight after NRL 360. Let's get into tonight's agenda. And after a year, no one on the planet, let's be honest, is ever going to forget the NRL season. Most people thought wouldn't happen, is down to one game and two teams. Let's have a look at how the Penrith Panthers and Melbourne Storm won their way through to a grand final.
Tonight, the first preliminary final with a prize, a place in the grand final. Hughes on the last, Melbourne with Jesse Bromwich opening the scoring. And nails it off Munster. Bromwich away, and O'Carr, too much speed for Rapana. Pappenhausen inside. It's blinding stuff from Melbourne. The Storm produce lightning strikes at Suncorp. Kibusi kept it alive. Still the last tackle. Hughes onto the ball. That was clever. That was even better. That was even better than from Vinavala. They are magicians. Williams to kick again. Kotrick's there with a take. Kotrick so strong. Ball knocked down. It's there for Nogan. For Nogan spins over to score. Kotrick will take them on with a kick over the top. He's still chasing. Rapana bounce to big. Kotrick. Oh! Who's back here? 37 years of age. I reckon this kid can play. The Melbourne Storm have done it again. They qualify for their fourth grand final in 5 years.
I know the Raiders hold a really special place in your heart. How hard is it going to be? Say goodbye.
Yeah. It's going to be tough, mate. It's going to be all tough.
Tonight was our eighth prelim in 10 years. How many grand finals is that?
How many is that, Frank? In the last 10.
It's plenty. Yeah, it's five. Like, we've been in every second grand final for the last 10 years. Some people judge success of, you know, winning a grand final. I'm just really proud of the way this footy side and our organisation just seems to front up every year. It's a pretty special effort.
Who gets the take on Melbourne in the grand final? We're about to find out. Reynolds kicks early. Johnston is there. Of course, Johnston is there. Johnston puts it down. A chance for Toho. The Rabbitohs will pay for a mistake. Cleary will chip it. Wants it to come down for Tyrone May. And it does. They're on the surge. 20 out. Cook down the short side. Walker for Gagai. Oh. Who reaches out and scores for the Rabbitohs. Now Yo. Step Nickel. Stepped everybody. Edwards back on the inside. He'll score. Walker on the wraparound with Murray. A chance off the boot. Oh. Play on. Allen plants it down.
Well, this is extraordinary.
Penrith back in the grand final for the first time in 17 years.
The effort was outstanding and could have executed a bit better, but you can always do those things better. But you know, I've never been able to fault their effort.
Oh, it's unbelievable, you know. It feels pretty surreal at the moment. Yeah, can't wait to rip into this week of training and get to the game on Sunday. Really looking forward to it.
Can you believe it? The Penrith Panthers will make their first grand final in 17 years off the back of 17 straight victories. James Hooper, did you see that coming?
Well, there's some brilliant synergies and narratives, Ben. You've got the father-son combination in Nathan and Ivan, and you had it in 2003 with Martin Lang and John Lang. The number seven is virtually a lay-down Mazzetta to win the Dally M medal tonight. Back in 03, it was Craig Gower who had such a dominant season. And nobody predicted this, to answer your question, Ben. Like, no one at the start of the year was saying that Penrith are a damn good chance to win the premiership.
The other thing too is it's extraordinary in this competition where a 50% win record gets you into the finals most years to win 17 in a row. Like, that is so
unbelievable.
Difficult.
Well, the last side to do it, you got to go all the way back to 2002, the year the Dogs were kicked out of the comp. They won 7 in a row with that side that was caught to be cheating the cat. Yeah. And then prior to that, you got to go back to 1975 to the Roosters, who won 19 in a row that season.
There's another quirky similarity, guys. Remember after the Penrith Grand Final, 2003, Scott Sattler went to the West Tigers. James Tarmow goes this year. There you go. What a scoop, eh?
Is that the universe speaking to
well,
you?
Well, it is, mate. Yeah. Do you want me to keep going?
No, that
was another one. Tony Pulitua was destructive on the left edge for Penrith that season. This year, it's Viliami kicking.
Another air bear.
Were you around in 2003 to remember all this?
Of course I was. I remember the celebrations. Come rescue me.
Geez, you would have been a rookie. No,
When did you get into the next?
That was my third grand final, Phil.
Was it?
That was my third.
Is it fair to say it was only about a month, 6 weeks ago, where I think most people started to take the Panthers seriously as premiership contenders? The wins kept coming, but it's like, oh, look, they're young, they're inexperienced. They'll get the wobbles at some point.
You know,
the wobbles have never arrived.
They also had a bit of an advantage too during the home and away rounds where so many teams, particularly in the first 8-9 weeks of resumption, teams were travelling a fair bit. And Penrith were playing a lot of their games out of the home ground, which
was a real benefit.
Yeah, but
Kenny, you know as well as I do that everyone said Penrith haven't been tested from behind.
Well, they hadn't.
They jump-started every game and they got out. Then they got behind against the Roosters. Then they got behind again against South the other night. Mm. And no one knew if they had the mettle, the experience, and the composure to handle stress in a big game. And they did.
They've got resilience. They've shown resilience against two quality football sides. All right. So just diving into that performance on the weekend, I'm going to go now to our Smart Play of the Week brought to you by Maytronics. And Isaiah Yeo is the winner this week, lad. So he delivered the match winner. Effectively, the game was on the line. Something needed to happen. I did not expect it to be this bloke, but he sidestepped his way through the middle of the ruck. I think he beat Damien Cook. And there you go. It set up Dylan Edwards for a try that would ultimately get the Panthers a grand final. And he is having one hell of a season. He's been more than just that play.
And not only that, Ben, the timing of the draw and pass, and this is something we talk about in the game where players I think because of the lack of backyard footy that gets played these days, they get in a break, they don't know when to throw, they throw too early, they throw too late. He knew what he was doing.
He got into space and immediately started looking for support.
And immediately started setting up the defender where he wanted to place him to make the pass.
Boys, if there was a Dally M award tonight for most improved in the NRL, did the two boys in that try. The fullback and the lock.
Yeah, he was safe under the high ball, Dylan Edwards.
The fullback was unbelievable, apart from that try.
Well, last year, there was a point where Isaiah Yeo needed shoulder surgery and he delayed it, got it rehabbed just to finish the season, even though Penrith weren't in with much of a shot of making the finals. This year, the big change was they moved him into the middle third of the field. Previously, we've seen him used more on the edges and filling in the centres, but game-breaking play on Saturday evening.
Listen, it's grand final week. Speaking of shoulders, Abbey Coruscant, is he fine? He left the field. I think he had a needle. He came back on and got straight back into it. But I did hold concern there for him. Looked pretty savage what happened to him. He was in an enormous amount of pain.
It looked severe and he was forced off the field immediately. But look, everybody at the Panthers is adamant that Appy is fine. The man himself said he was OK after the game. It was a bad stinger, a bad burner. They need him right. I think we'll see him carry Mitch.
He's vital.
These sort of injury stories normally drag on all week.
You
remember Luke Rickardson and the grand final?
The hamstring.
Mick Ennis.
Steve Bross.
Penrith yesterday, it wasn't an issue. They just said he's playing. There was absolutely no doubt. And he'll probably have a painkiller or two and... But it'll be sweet.
Now, the Melbourne Storm down the Canberra Raiders on Friday night, and after Storm captain Cameron Smith was cheered from the field at Suncorp Stadium, he was understandably asked by the journalist in his post-match press conference if he was retiring.
Your last game, Cameron, Suncorp Stadium.
I can't tell you, Dubbo. I don't know. All I'm worried about this year is trying to play well and just enjoy watching these young fellas grow as footballers and grow as men. I've been very fortunate in my career to be involved in some really big games with the Storm and lucky enough to win some premierships along the way. There's a lot of guys starting out their career that haven't had that opportunity yet, and I'm just enjoying their success at the moment and sharing in their journey. So I haven't thought past that.
So I'm confused, so I'll just ask. Based on what you saw and then what you heard, I mean, if the Storm win, does Cameron Smith retire? Does anybody know? Buzz, you were 80% about 6 weeks ago and it's...
Well, it was about 10 weeks ago and I said I was 80%. Then I went up to 90% about 3 weeks
ago. What about today?
I'm now 100%. He will retire. You don't walk off the long way and wave to fans and then allow your front rows to carry off the football field if you're going to be going round again next year.
I think he's made the decision. I think the Storm know the decision. I think they've made a pact to just keep it quiet.
OK.
Until afterwards.
So that was a celebration that they all knew was coming?
No, I don't think so. I think that was on the spur of the moment. Craig Bellamy said he just said to a couple of players, do it, and they did it. I think that was a legitimate spur of the moment. But I think he did it because he knew he's retiring.
He would have knocked it back. He would have said, settle, you know, I don't want, you know.
If he thought he was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And the other interesting thing, which I think Peter Bedell wrote on Sunday, neither Cameron or his manager have been to the club and said, we're even interested in playing. You know, what have you got? What's available in the cap? And it's not a discussion they're going to have, you know, this close to Christmas. And
let me ask you this, Buzz. He has with another club.
Let me ask you this, Buzz.
True.
What did you think then in the aftermath when they walk into the press conferences and... You can't really give people a direct answer.
No, look, I've been defending Cameron, as most people know, with you two having little cracks at him for some time. But I was a little bit disappointed in his press conference. I thought it showed a little bit of arrogance. He was sucking there on an ice block. And, look, he was probably dehydrated and needed it. But I just don't think it looked all that terrific. And I think he's being a little bit narky now. I think... The rugby league world and Storm fans in particular and are entitled to know what's going on.
Why is he being narky? Yeah. What's he being...
I can't answer that question, mate.
He's probably just getting annoyed, I would say, with the commentary. I mean, it's something that he's controlling, but we're sitting here on this side. We're getting annoyed by the lack of direction we're getting. I mean, the fans, I'm assuming, want to celebrate his career with him.
Do you think he's made the decision and he doesn't want to announce the decision, because while you'll get the immediate plaudits, mate, great career, is he the best ever, you'll then get into the secondary conversation, which is the legacy he leaves and why he's not as popular as he should be, and all those sorts of things which are uncomfortable to him and then could be a distraction for the team. Yeah. So therefore, he waits till the end of the season, finishes the grand final, and just waves goodbye to everybody.
Keeps his primary focus on where it needs to be, which is winning football games.
When you talk about his popularity, I don't know a commentator who works at this network who hasn't said he's the best player they've ever seen. North of the border in Queensland, he's very popular with his Queensland record.
Of course he is, Buzz. I heard Peter Stirling say over the weekend, one of your old sparring partners, he thinks Andrew Johns and Wally Lewis are the best players that he's ever seen. He said, look, he's absolutely up there. Of course he is. He's always going to be in the conversation, but I don't think everybody sees him as a lay-down Mazzaire.
The 430 games, so he's the international best that you've ever and seen? Origin record, tips it his way as the best I've seen, yeah.
Now, Buzz, you weren't impressed by the Rabbitohs, nor their 2 years under Wayne Bennett.
I saw this on the run sheet, Ben, and I didn't write that I was not impressed with the Rabbitohs. What I said was that they're in this really frustrating hold period that's gone 3 years where they have not improved on where Anthony Seibold left in 2018.
I thought they've gone backwards under Wayne Bennett.
No, I didn't say they'd gone backwards. Mate, I think I might have a better idea because I actually
wrote it.
Well, thank you. What I did say was that Anthony Seibold left South Sydney in much better condition than Wayne Bennett left the Broncos.
It's not personal with Wayne, but it is. That's why you keep... defending Seibold and the Trolls campaign. He got the wooden spoon at the Broncos.
Yeah, I will defend I'll defend him in the Trolls case.
The spoon. He got the spoon at the Broncos. He got moved on.
Reframe that. After 2 years at their new clubs, did Wayne Bennett not put the Rabbitohs in a better position than Anthony Seibold put the Broncos?
Of course he did.
Let's remember what too, Wayne had to get South Sydney going without Greg Inglis and without Sam Burgess.
Oh, he has a private number again.
Yes.
That's Wayne now. He's not happy.
Do you like the way I got
that's
it on
the
silent?
First time he's rung in a while.
I'm just trying to turn the topic a little bit. I just said they hadn't improved. And
I disagree. I think they have, Phil. They put 60 on...
The back-to-back
the
premiers.
Roosters, yes. Right? And they scored 144 points in 3 weeks. Mm. They're without Sam Burgess, John Sutton, Greg Inglis and George Burgess, who are players that Seibold all had. Yeah. Seibold got the spoon at the Broncos.
I think if you fast forward 2 years that Cameron Murray...
Oh, not the
Cody, discussion's
nuts
not, the discussion's not the hypothesis. The Broncos, though, the discussion's on the Broncos.
Yeah, and the fact that he got in there and there was a salary cap that was a debacle. That was my point.
Wayne still had him in the finals.
This conversation's done. Ricky Stewart was clearly shattered after the Raiders' loss on Friday. And what was there to say, really?
The first 25 minutes that we had no footy, we didn't defend well. We were passive in defence and we didn't start well. And it was it was not us. I can handle the loss, but I'm just really disappointed that we didn't have one of our better games tonight. From a coach, disappoints you because, you know, you're better than that. You know, we hung around and tried to turn it around, but Melbourne just wouldn't let us. You know, I'm very proud of where we got to. I'm disappointed in not going one step further because I think we're better than what we showed tonight. And, you know, you can't take it for granted in getting to this position in a season because, you know, you fight so hard to get here and put so much work in to get to this stage of the season. And for us to let ourselves down like that in the first 25 minutes is the disappointing part. But I can handle the loss, but I genuinely, wish Craig and Cameron and their team all the best for next week. Cheers.
All right, so it was a good answer, but it was the only answer. Then he got up and walked out. I think he tried to give the journalists as much as he could. Do you think he was within his rights to do what he did, Ricky Stewart?
I got no problem with it. I think he came in, he spoke graciously. He answered every question that was going to be asked.
Tried to.
Well, he just went and knew what the questions were coming. He's done that many press conferences. Ben, I could tell you 99% of the questions, even Buzz's 80% of the questions that we're going to get asked straight away.
The other element
you just know what they are. They're just going to be Dorothy Dix's. Were you happy with this? How was the stuff?
What I like.
He addressed it all.
In his 1:17, however long it was, he showed great sportsmanship and he wished Craig Bellamy and Cameron Smith well. Mm. He didn't blow up about the Queensland government, a referee call that went sour. He is probably the most emotional coach in rugby league. And I think he was struggling to contain his emotions. And he thought it would be a good idea if he got up and left.
The other element as well, Buzz, and I'm glad you raised the Queensland government, is they were under pressure, the Raiders, to get straight back on a plane and get out of Dodge. And so because the Storm took 17 minutes, and that's cool, they made the grand final, they're entitled to have the floor for as long as they want, but the NRL actually had to wrap the Storm up because they needed to get Ricky in there so that he could then go and catch his plane.
And I'll tell you what,
I don't see it as a drama at all.
I thought the Queensland government were pretty ordinary in the way they handled the Raiders. The fact that they allowed the AFL to go up there and party every night, all the officials and families and friends that have all flown in from the AFL and they've all lobbed into town and they're spending the week sitting around the pool and all that and not obeying the rules because they've done a government deal, OK, the AFL and the Queensland government, and yet the Raiders wanted to get up in the morning so they could book into a hotel and the Queensland government would not allow them to do that because of all the conditions that the hotel staff had to be temperature checked and COVID tested and all that, which is complete rubbish.
What did they want, an extra 3 or 4 hours?
There was a little bit of karma there with the Queensland government and the AFL in that the Brisbane Lions missed out.
Got rolled.
Well, it is. That was the grand final they wanted.
You are deeply connected to the universe.
But it should,
that's my job.
That shouldn't have happened. And I'll tell you what else I'm disappointed, though, in there, Ben, is the NRL on that. They've been lobbying government and getting the right oil. And Volandis and Ad Bell have done a really good job all year. But this one, they dropped the ball.
You know what?
Oh, they didn't.
They could have got on the phone.
ScoMo can't open the border. How are they going to?
Well, how did the AFL get in there? It was a matter of about 3 or 4 hours. Yeah. That's all it was.
What's wrong?
Listen.
Why were they not allowed to fly in at 8 o'clock and had to fly in at 3 o'clock?
No. We should have given the job to you. You got the Raiders a plane to Sydney, remember?
Look, Ben, just next time call me.
Just the two candidates in our player performance of the round tonight, brought to you by Xero Online Accounting Software. To lodge your vote, head to Twitter, use the handle FoxNRL, the hashtag NRL360Hughes or Coruscant. You can also use the Fox League app. And as always, we'll announce the winner later in the program. Jerome Hughes and Abby Coruscant are both terrific on the weekend. Now, if you thought Wayne Bennett returning to coach Queensland would be the biggest story in this year's State of Origin series, think again. Mel Meninga, Maroons assistant coach. How good?
Yeah, I dropped the phone, Ben, genuinely, when I heard about this on Thursday, because as much as they've got a long and decorated history, when they were rival coaches throughout the 2017 World Cup, Mal was in charge of Australia and Wayne was in charge of England, it was no speakies. And Mal actually penned a pretty scathing column about the fact that there was no rapport there and no relationship
Wayne wanted the Australian job back, didn't he? And Mal, you know, the AOL appointed Mal. And there was
as
bad
full-time
blood.
Full-time coach, yeah.
Yeah.
There was bad blood from that moment on. I was very surprised by it, but I'll tell you what it tells me. Is that Queensland are going back to the melting pot and they're just going back to all those Queensland legends of the 80s and 90s and just bringing back that DNA.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
And the other important thing is we're playing out of season, we're playing in the cricket season basically, and to have those two legendary figures together is a marketing coup.
Yeah.
And it'll get more eyeballs and more space in the paper and more coverage on radio. It's a great thing for the series.
Well, first Origin's on the day after the Melbourne Cup, isn't it?
Yes, it is on that Wednesday, November 4th.
How are we going to get through that?
If I'm New South Wales here, Ben, I'm seriously concerned because the combination of those two and the Origin folklore and history and understanding in the 40th year of the concept that they're really going to be ramming home, it's a concern.
Much adversity to overcome.
Are you still confident?
Yeah. I'm still confident.
3-0?
Yes, I'm going to stick
with that. All right, it's time to announce our first award in this year's Dally M's. And with everything that's been going on in 2020, this particular award carries extra significance. Here are our nominees for Dally M Captain of the Year.
Cameron Smith.
Cameron Smith.
season number 19. His illustrious career as good as ever.
Cameron Smith for Sawa Valiawe. Long may he ride. Here he goes again, Cameron Smith. He can do it all, Cameron.
James Tarmo.
Here's Tarmo. Now they're off and running. Tarmo.
The front row is forcing line dropouts. Oh, Tarmo, he'll love this. Tarmo crashes it down, and the celebrations begin.
Clint Gutherson.
King Gutho, oh yes! I love it! Have a look at that! Have a look at that! That is magnificent rugby league. King Gutho has got the first field goal of his career. He's passed to Gutherson. And Gutherson rolls over to score.
Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
Tuivasa-Sheck's away. Roger with a step.
Brilliance of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck at the back. What a super player.
Tuivasa-Sheck beats everybody. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, he's in. And it's the Warriors' day in Tamworth.
Yes, and our very deserving Dally M Captain of the Year is Warriors skipper Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
It's a huge honour to be winning the 2020 Dally M Captain of the Year award. It's unreal to even say. When I look back at our season, how crazy it was, the amount of dramas that we had, and I definitely question myself as a captain, as a leader, if I was doing the right thing. So to win this award, I'm truly grateful and I appreciate it so much. And I just want to thank the Vodafone Warriors, the club. I just want to thank my manager, Bruce Sharrock. I just want to thank my in-laws, Stoney and Linda, holding it down for me back home. I want to thank my parents for their guidance as well. And of course, I want to thank Ash for her strength and the way she was able to raise our kids with me being away. So thank you to her and everyone else. And now I just want to wish all the boys the best this weekend. The grand final, you know, it's a big moment for them. So go out there and enjoy it. You guys deserve it and enjoy the night. Thank you.
Yeah, well done to Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Tell me, TK, what does this season say about RTS and his Warriors?
He led them where they needed to be led, which is off the field. Look, we all know the season wouldn't have gone ahead if the Warriors had packed up and gone home. And he was able to keep them together, keep them focused. And in fact, they played some really, really good football despite the hardship of having to live at Terrigal for... What was it, 6 months?
Yeah.
5 months?
No, so it was magnificent.
Great effort.
And the game will be forever thankful. All right, up next, the journos make some bold predictions for 2021 and we announce the Peter Frelingos headline moment of the year. Get excited, folks. It's grand final week on Fox League.